Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark. But we could just as easily read Matthew or Luke or John. That's because today we're going to hear the only miracle story of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. We're going to hear the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's the story of a time when there was a huge crowd of people who had come to hear Jesus teach. And at the end of the day, they were hungry. The disciples, Jesus' closest friends, they went to Jesus and they asked him to bring his lesson to a close so they could send all the people into the surrounding towns where they could find something to eat. But Jesus had another idea. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he blessed them. And then he gave them to the disciples to share with the crowd of people who had gathered. Now remember, there were at least 5,000 people there, and Jesus had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Everyone shared. Everyone got something to eat. And at the end, the disciples went around and they gathered up all of the food that had been left over, and they gathered basketfuls of extra food. It was a miracle. There was so much left over. Now, if you want to follow along while I read this passage, you can find it in the Shine On Bible, which is in some of the front pews for our Sunday schoolers. And in this Bible, it is on page 210. If you would like to follow along in the regular pew Bible that the rest of you can find in the pew racks in front of you, it is on page 818. So let us listen now for the word of God. The disciples of Jesus went out traveling and teaching. Then they came back together again to tell Jesus what they had been doing. They were so busy with many people coming and going that they did not even have time to eat. Jesus said to them, "Come away with me to a deserted place where you can rest for a while." So they went away by boat to a place where they could be by themselves. But many people recognized them and saw where they were headed. They hurried to that place on foot while Jesus and the disciples went by boat. When Jesus and the disciples got to the other shore, a crowd of people had already arrived. Jesus felt pity in his heart for all these people, for he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Instead of sending them away, he began to teach them. Then it grew late, and the disciples came to Jesus. "Send the people away to the nearby towns," they said. "Then they will be able to buy themselves food to eat." Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." The disciples were shocked. "How can we buy food for all of these people?" they asked. Jesus said, "Go and see how much bread you have." The disciples found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. The people, 5,000 of them in all, sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus took the fish and the loaves of bread, looked up to heaven, and blessed the food. He broke the loaves into pieces and gave them to the disciples. He divided the fish among them as well. The disciples passed out the food to all the groups of people. Everyone ate until they were full. Then the disciples collected what was left. And amazingly, there were 12 baskets full of bread and fish. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes it can feel like the stories in the Bible happened so long ago. So long ago that the miracles, like the one that we just read, could never actually happen today. But I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about my friend, Reverend Anne. Now, Reverend Anne is a pastor, like me and Reverend Larry, but the church that she serves is in New York City. And there are a lot of things that are pretty awesome about Reverend Anne, but one of those things is that in addition to her work in the church, she also serves as a chaplain with the New York City Fire Department. Now, how many of you have heard before the word chaplain? Have you heard that word? Has anyone heard that word before? Okay, some of us have heard it. I wonder if some of the adults in the congregation might help us to know what it means to be a chaplain. How is a chaplain different than a pastor? Can any of the adults help us know this? Oh, we've got an I don't know look. So sometimes they can be used interchangeably, but they kind of designate that the work that the chaplains are doing are in a different place. So pastors primarily serve in churches, and so chaplains serve where? Lots of places, right? Hospitals, fire departments, police departments, prisons, in the military. Like, there are lots of other places where pastors serve outside of the church. And oftentimes, those positions are called chaplaincy positions. So Reverend Anne gets to be both a pastor and a chaplain because she serves a local church, and she also serves the New York City Fire Department. And in her role as a chaplain with the fire department, she serves all of the firefighters and emergency responders and staff who are part of the fire department in New York City. It's like her church, her congregation, is that whole community, that whole fire department community. And one of the things that Reverend Anne does as a chaplain with the fire department is she shows up when there are major fires or other emergencies that require a lot of firefighters to respond. So she goes to, so that she can offer support to the firefighters, to the emergency responders, and to the people who have been displaced from their homes or apartments because of a fire. And sometimes Anne helps to care primarily for those people who have been displaced from their homes, because what she has discovered is that if she helps to take care of those people, it lets the firefighters focus on fighting the fire. Now, a few days ago, Reverend Anne was getting into her jammies. She was getting ready to go to bed, and she got a call because there was a big fire in the Bronx. Now, it was raining, it was a cold, dark, wet night, and all she wanted to do was get her jammies on and get under her covers and cuddle up and stay warm. But she knew she had really important work to do. So she changed out of her jammies and she put her uniform on and she went to the Bronx. Now, when she got there, she did what she was supposed to do. She checked in first with the fire chief to see what was needed at the scene. She checked in with all of the emergency responders, the ambulance and medical personnel to see if they needed anything. Luckily, no one was injured. But there was a lot of concern because there were people who had been displaced from their apartments. And remember, it was a wet, cold evening, so now all of these people were outside. They didn't know when they were going to be able to get back into their homes, if they would even be able to go back to their homes. And so the fire department was really worried about those people. So Reverend Anne was trying to figure out what she could do to help. And she looked up and she looked across the street and she saw there a White Castle. Now, how many of you have been to a White Castle? Okay, a few hands. All right, so what is White Castle known for?
Burgers,
particularly sliders, right? The little burgers. So Reverend Anne had an idea. She thought that she could go over to the White Castle and buy a bunch of food so that people could at least have a place to sit and stay warm and maybe dry off, and they could also get a bit of food to eat as well. So off she goes to the White Castle. When she walked in, there were just a few people in there. There were two guys. They said they didn't need anything, but there was a family of five. And they hadn't eaten anything for dinner. It turns out that one of the buildings that had to be evacuated was a homeless shelter. So these people really needed food. So Reverend Anne asked them what they wanted, and she went up to the counter, and so she placed their order, and she decided she would also order 50 additional sliders and a bunch of cups of soda. She knew it was way more than was needed by that family, but what she did, she went over and she started talking to two of the children in that family of five. And she said, "I need your help with something. I've got to get back outside, but I just placed this big order of food. Now, I know your chicken rings are in there. Don't worry, I ordered what you asked for, but I also ordered all of these extra sliders and all of this extra soda. Could you help to make sure that everyone who comes in shares the food so that everyone can get something to eat?" And the children, their faces just lit up with these huge smiles, and one of the little girls, she grabbed all the cups and she went around and started handing out the cups so that everyone could get some soda, and Reverend Anne walked back outside so that she could return to her rounds, checking back in again with the fire chief, the firefighters, the medical personnel. About a half an hour passed, maybe 45 minutes, and someone came and got Reverend Anne and told her she needed to get back to the White Castle. Now, she was thinking that maybe she needed to buy more food. You know, she had bought what she thought might be enough, but she also knew that once people outside of the White Castle heard that there was free food inside the White Castle, that might have meant there were a bunch of people who went in there and she would need to go and order more food. She also was concerned, you know, that maybe people were getting upset because not everyone had shared the food well, and maybe some people had gotten more than other people. So she went back in, and she discovered that people simply wanted to say thank you. Everything was fine. Everyone was happy. Everyone was sitting around sharing the food beautifully. The place was packed full. But there had been enough food. It was like a miracle. And when Anne went and looked to see what was left in the big box of those 50 sliders, there was still food in there. It was like this beautiful miracle of the sliders and the soda, where the children had made sure that if they shared, everyone would have something to eat, that there would be enough for everyone. Now, there is a quote that's actually going to go up on the church's Facebook page on Thanksgiving, and I know I'm ruining the surprise, but I want to share it today because it really seems to apply to what Reverend Anne experienced in that White Castle. And the quote goes like this: "Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough." I think gratitude allows us to look around and to see all that we have been given, but gratitude also allows us to look up and to see those who are in need so that we can share what we have with others so that everyone can have enough. I think that's why Jesus did that miracle where he took the five loaves of bread and the two fish and he fed 5,000 people and there was more left over than when they started. I think Jesus wanted to give us just a glimpse of how God sees the world. Jesus wanted us to know that if we all start with what we have and give thanks for it and then see who else needs some, and then we share, that there can be enough for everyone. So I hope that this Thanksgiving, we will all have the opportunity to honor both parts of that word, the thanks and the giving. That we will have the opportunity to give thanks for all that we have been given, and that we will have the opportunity to give and to share with others. Because it is through gratitude and through giving that we can discover together we have enough for everyone. And that is a miracle. Amen.